This is KPMG's Driver Acceleration Ahead, a series where we discuss new approaches in using business drivers for success. And here's your host for this episode, Christina Cavanaugh.
Hello, and welcome to Driver Acceleration Ahead, KPMG's new podcast series about advanced driver-based planning. We've been talking about a game-changing new approach to business planning that allows companies to streamline budget cycles, generate faster and more accurate forecasts, and eliminate a lot of manual work. With driver-based planning, you create a detailed hierarchy of business drivers across the entire company, finance, operations, and the different levers that matter across the entire enterprise. This framework of business drivers goes down 4 or 5 levels deep and can work within your existing enterprise planning systems. One of the best ways to bring this concept to life is to look at how driver frameworks work in specific industries. And today we're going to talk about the insurance industry and why it's an ideal candidate for driver-based planning. So I'm joined today by David Forey, a partner with KPMG's Finance Transformation Team, and Scott Friedrich, Managing Director within the Finance Transformation Team. David and Scott, thank you so much for joining today. David, I hope I didn't get that set up wrong, but in some earlier discussions, you had mentioned that driver-based planning is particularly right for insurers. Why is that?
You did get it right, Christina. And it's, you know, most people think insurance is fairly simple. You know, it's the products that we know as individuals. But the distribution mechanism and the complexity and diversity of products are actually significant. And therefore, the way that you would approach this problem for insurance is a lot more complicated than a number of other industries. And a simple example would be the way you need to think about a life product and what you do there, and the key inputs that helps you understand the financial impact to an organization is very different than what you would look at if you think about a homeowner's product. And then though, if we think about sort of the driver models, even though you might be at that same level at the top as to what drives into it, as you draw deeper into it, it very quickly diverge and become very complicated in how you would analyze it. And therefore, when you built this model from an insurance industry perspective, you do need to think about product, business unit, segment information a lot more closely to ensure that you build it the right way, think about it the right way, and enable it to help drive that, you know, connected top-down and bottom-up view, as well as thinking about how do you bring this together across all of the products that you have within your organization.
Thanks, David. Now, it sounds like the different levels and maybe how they're weighted is really important. So, Scott, I'll direct this one to you. What are some specific examples of how these driver levels work? For example, how about life insurance versus car insurance? Where might they be the same and where are they different? And how does that weighting work?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I agree with what David said. There, you know, there's certainly an inherent complexity on the insurance side, particularly on the, you know, kind of the loss component of the P&L. But if you think about how your P&L is structured, you know, with revenue items at the top, and below you have policy-related benefits, losses, reserves, and so on and so forth. Each of those different buckets, you know, would have multiple levels. What a lot of our clients do is they actually start at the top of the P&L first to build out the driver-based methodology and really you know, focus on things that are a little bit more controllable as that starting point. So if you think about revenue, for instance, you know, revenue, you know, your level one, what you might be seeing at the highest level of the P&L is gross written premium. So if you think about what makes up gross written premium, it's new business premium, it's cancellations, it's renewals, it's any kind of midterm adjustments, and any kind of other taxes charges to the policies themselves. So again, if you decompose that even further and look just at new business gross written premium, you know, there you can kind of look at number of quotes, number of submissions. In some cases, insurers look at, you know, what the, you know, rate of from submission to quote to bound is. You know, in some cases it's referred to as strike rate, but it's really starting, you know, more so on that revenue side, where, you can look and see, you know, what history shows from a, how many numbers of quotes do we receive, you know, how, of those quotes, you know, how many of those, you know, end up being written premium. And there is, you know, going back to the point about the comparison between, you know, the life side of the house versus the property and casualty side of the house, you know, there is a bit more consistency there on the revenue side, especially compared it to, you know, how losses are identified on the life side versus the P&C side. So again, you know, to me, it's a progression, you know, starting with something perhaps a little bit more basic on the revenue side and then migrating down to some of the more complexities around losses, you know, working with your actuarial counterparts.
That's great detail. Thanks so much. I'm guessing, though, that mastering all of this detail can feel like a lot for some clients and potentially overwhelming. David, how do you address that with the clients or the different companies you've worked with? How do we bring this to life? And what does an implementation really look like?
Yeah, Christina, it is a bit of a task for organizations, but I think it's important to acknowledge that our insurance clients are all in a different place on this journey. And we, although we see a continued focus, it means that we need to approach it from where each client is. And the great thing is that's very much possible to build on where you are as an individual organization. For those clients where they haven't really done anything yet, we'd look at it and say, let's start small, and then we scale from there. It's important to do it that way because you want to actually get buy-in throughout the journey as you grow and expand it. And that buy-in from senior leadership is really important because of the potential investments that will be needed as you expand, and also the number of folks that have to participate across the organization to really get this right. And so what we typically suggest is pick a product, a business unit, think about specific use cases within those functional areas, you know, identify the functions that would need to collaborate in this. And so on the life side, we would definitely say that this is a joint exercise, both with the distribution channel owners or the business unit owners, as well as actuarial, because to have that full driver model for a life product definitely has some model inputs that comes from the actuarial team. And so bringing that collaborative team together then gives you the ability to analyze and understand the different dimensions, the different levels, the different problem statements. You can work through where do I source the right data, you know, where do I get the right granularity from, and you can even start thinking about how do I build it up at an acceptable starting point, be that potentially level four, where it's more operational in characteristic versus level zero, level one. We typically think more as financial. And then, you know, get the framework in place, get the initial models in place, and then you can evolve it over time to go into level five, level six onwards. But it gives you that ability to go live with something, showcase the power and value behind it, and then you can go scale it into other areas of the business, you know, be that other products or other business units.
Awesome. So pulling on the thread of, you know, kind of fine-tuning as you go, adding in external data for additional business driver reference points has come up as an opportunity in other discussions with other industries. Scott, I'll toss this one over to you. How valuable can external data be for insurers, and maybe what are some examples?
Yeah, it's absolutely huge. And we're starting to see, you know, customers, clients we worked with implementing kind of that initial driver-based models now migrating over to using external drivers, you know, to really serve as a starting point or even a challenger, you know, to their existing FP&A process. And by what I mean, you know, what I mean by that is, you know, using those external data points, you know, to drive your, you know, initial results is not meant to you know, replace what's being done on the FP&A side or replace the FP&A community. It's meant to complement and really serve as a starting point. So if you think about things, you know, in the life insurance side or even in the P&C side, you know, external factors that drive life insurance sales are, you know, are things like Obviously, the change in interest rates has an impact on, whether they're going from one product to another product. Changes in home ownership, even birth rates have an impact on life insurance sales. So taking in those external data points, allowing that to start helping the FP&A community build out their first draft, if you will, of their product level revenue plan, again, gives them that starting point that they wouldn't have if they're trying to build it from the ground up. And what we found is that in most cases, using those external data points, having that serve as that challenger, that starting point, having the FP&A community tweak and adjust, in a lot of cases, it really does enhance accuracy, enhances the speed, and it really enhances the way that they're able to glean insight against what's happening in the world and how that impacts their businesses. So it is huge. It's something that I would see and say is going to continue to grow as the technology continues to get more advanced. And it's exciting to see that insurers are gravitating towards that.
That makes sense, Scott. Thanks so much. And really, thanks to you both. These details and examples have really brought this concept of driver-based planning to life. So, David, let's close with this. For a lot of reasons, the insurance industry has never really been known for disruptive innovation, and especially in finance. After all, it's an industry that really benefits from being risk-averse. But moving to driver-based planning, these days it feels like it's more about the finance team keeping pace, right? And this approach can actually get them there faster and with less risk, not more.
You're definitely right. And I think we'd have a couple of insurers out there that would chuckle a little bit about, not really known for disruptive innovation, but we're not. I mean, we are more risk-averse. We are innovators, but really approaching the problem statement from a different angle is typically for finance organizations a little bit of a challenge and a mind shift. If we think about the insurance industry in general, I'd say that they are probably a wave or two behind other industries, which is nothing new. I think most people acknowledge that insurance typically lags commercial and retail, as an example. But I think what's great about this series, where we are now in the next round of true modernization of finance technologies in insurance, it gives us a very unique opportunity. Not only has technology advanced so much over the last 3 to 4 years, from a capability perspective, the ability and access to data has equally improved for most organizations. And so that this gives us an opportunity to leapfrog some of the foundational stuff that we would have done. And a simple example would be, instead of taking what we are doing in Excel spreadsheets today from a planning and forecasting perspective, and just putting that in an EPM tool to just make it do the same, but more efficient, more technology behind it, we have the opportunity to approach the problem statement very differently by following this driver-based modeling and analytics framework. That enables you to think about bottom-up, top-down together. It gives you a very different focus on it. It brings greater collaboration in it. And if done in the right way, you're not just solving the challenges for your planning cycle, you're also setting up the foundation to be able to do more dynamic and continuous forecasting models. And therefore, you're setting yourself up to move to that forward-looking business partner-centric model that everybody's aspiring to, where finance truly has the opportunity to become part of the driver of profitability and growth for their organizations. So in closing, Christina, I think this is an absolutely fantastic opportunity for finance as we start doing some of these things to really think outside the box and approach traditional problems in a very different way.
Thanks so much, David. Totally agree. This is a very exciting time to be in finance and a big opportunity. Hopefully our listeners agree. So thank you so much and tune in next time on Driver Acceleration Ahead.
Thanks for listening to this episode of KPMG's Driver Acceleration Ahead. And for more information on elevating your financial planning and analysis, go to visit.kpmg.us/elevatingFPA.